In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
And a welcome to our guests who are with us today. I'm reminded, I heard the news earlier this week of the passing of Tony Curtis. That was his stage name. I forget what his born name was. But those of us who lived in my generation remember him as a famous movie star. And he was kind of an example for young men of my era of, you know, just strength and masculinity. And one of the movies that I recall him being in was Taras Bulba. Now, I don't know who's seen the movie Taras Bulba. Okay, yes, we have one, too. I actually thought of getting this and showing it to the kids sometime. But it's actually an interesting thing because it talks about Taras Bulba was a hetman. He was a leader of the Cossacks. And they were basically fighting two wars. This was part of what was Ukraine back hundreds of years ago. And they were fighting the invading Turks. And from the south, but then also instead of getting assistance from the Poles to the west, the Poles were trying to kind of take over their land as well. So there was this battle. But I don't remember much about the movie, to be quite honest with you. But I do remember something. I remember two scenes. The first was the scene of when Taras Bulba had a son and he baptized him. And that baptismal scene was just extraordinary. It was very powerful. And there was a sense that Yul Brynner was Taras Bulba. Okay, so that was pretty heavy-duty, heavy hitters. But there was great joy and in him having his son. And yet, the story goes, his son betrays the family. He ends up marrying a Polish girl. Nothing against the Poles here, but it's just the storyline. But as a result, he becomes something of a traitor. And in the end of the movie, and when I look back at it now, this was a fairly violent movie. It had horses, though, so I like that. But in the end, Taras Bulba kills his son for the honor of his people. And to send a message, basically, that this type of betrayal will not be accepted. So this son whom he loved had become his enemy. Now, this is unimaginable to us. And really, that second scene of the death of his son and the loss and the sorrow in that, it was very powerful. And it showed the power that killing one's beloved can do. How did this happen? How did his son become his enemy? Now, that's a question that isn't applicable just to Taras Bulba. But I think it gets to the message of the gospel today about loving our enemies. And so I'm sure he would have never thought when his son was baptized that this would become his enemy. But he did. He became his enemy, as it were, in war. So what is the nature of this command that the Lord gives to us to love our enemies? I'm reminded that it's essential for us to first remember or call to mind or try to figure out who in the world is our enemy? Now, most of us, when we pose that question of ourselves, say, oh, well, nobody. I'm a Christian. I don't have any enemies out there. Well, maybe there are people that don't like you who would consider you their enemy. But if you think about it more, with whom are you at enmity within your soul? A little different way of putting the question. Who is it that gets on your case? Who is it that bugs you? Who is it in your family, maybe that you haven't talked to for a long time? What about that neighbor that you don't get along with. Or that person in your high school class who you did something to in gym class and really never made right. As you think about this, I'm sure there will be people come to mind. And I think it's important to realize that this process of a person becoming an enemy, it's not an external thing. It's not like, well, you go into a crowd, you can pick out this person's the enemy, that person's the enemy, that person's the enemy. Sort of like the old wars, you know, where people actually had different uniforms, you fought battles, and you could tell by the uniform they were wearing who the good guys were and who the bad guys were. Who do you call a bad guy? How do you really feel about people on the other side of the political spectrum? Do they make you angry? Does that angry lead to enmity in your heart? What about people of other religions? People who don't believe as we do. Don't we harbor within our souls this anger? And this is the enemy that the Lord Jesus is talking about. And this is the enemy that we are called to change our attitude toward and to move from this enmity in our hearts to love. This is the process, brothers and sisters, of salvation, where we become Christ-like and our hearts change so that even the people who hate us the most, maybe treat us the worst, people with whom we've struggled to try to not harbor those things, by the grace of God, loving our enemies is possible. This is the good news. Not only is it possible, but it is commanded of us. And with that command of the Lord Jesus comes the grace of the Holy Spirit to those who will receive it, to extend love in place of hatred and animosity, and to let that be witness and manifest in our works, in our words, in our attitudes, in our glances, and in the things and in the ways that we treat each other, that this enmity will be defeated and destroyed. It's interesting how in the patristic commentaries on this particular passage, a number of them make a parallel or make an observation between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how the New Testament and the Old Testament are one revelation of God. But the New Testament takes us new places. It takes us beyond the Old Testament. The eye for an eye doesn't work anymore for us. You see, and this is where sometimes as Christians, and this is, by the way, the way the world works for the most part. You commit a crime, you get thrown in jail. And oh, it's right, that's justice. But you see, Christ was in the forgiveness business. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. This is what the Lord Jesus' command was, and this was his ministry, to bring the mercy of God into a fallen world. What is this enmity? What is it? Do you want to know how fallen you are? Just look at those people that you hate or dislike or distrust. That's how fallen you are. That's the part of you that ain't saved yet, because the light of Christ hasn't come and forgiven and brought mercy. And this process, brothers and sisters, is not easy. We must move past those ways of thinking of the Old Testament. And sometimes it's the ways of thinking in which we were brought up. It's the way of thinking of the world that demands justice. Not the kind of Christian justice that says, yes, justice for the sake of direction and correction and reproof, so that a person can receive the mercy and grace of God. Their hearts can be changed. That's justice. The justice of the cross enabled our forgiveness and salvation. And this is what God pours out. You see, we were at enmity with God. And as long as we remain in sin, we still remain so. We remain separate from him. But Christ has come to bring about the reconciliation of us with himself, with the Father, and with one another. And so he speaks today and commands us to forgive one another and to love our enemies. Now, how in the world do you do that? Well, there are a couple of things that come to mind. The first is, as I mentioned, to identify who our enemy is and to realize, Houston, we got a problem. That person who we loved, that person who betrayed us, that person who harmed us, who hurt us, who did something bad or evil to us, I identify my feelings toward them. The question is, will my feelings rule my attitude toward that person? And once we realize who that person is, then what do? We must call upon the grace of Jesus Christ upon ourselves, asking forgiveness for harboring in our hearts these feelings and these thoughts and these desires for revenge and all that darkness, but then also praying for God's goodness to them, for God's mercy, for God's peace, his forgiveness, so that they could truly become the people that God would have them be. And guess who can be the channel of that process of the healing of that enemy? That would be you and me. Now, one of the fathers, I think it was St. Ephrem, he, in his commentary on this, he pointed out how from the very beginning of Christianity, this was the model. This is what made Christianity click in the world. This is how, as Tertullian said, Christians are different, is that they love their enemies. The example given by St. Ephrem is St. Stephen. Now, you see, St. Stephen and the Christians at their time, they had an enemy, a real enemy, someone who hated them very much. That enemy was Saul. And Saul persecuted the Christians and chased them all over Asia Minor. And finally, at the bidding of Saul, Stephen was captured and he was stoned to death. And it was in the midst of that stoning that it is reported in the Acts of the Apostles, very early in the Acts. St. Stephen didn't have a chance to preach the gospel very much. He had a chance, however, to show us what being a Christian is. And by accepting this stoning and the wounds and the pain and the suffering afflicted upon him because of Christ. And in the end, he said, Lord, forgive them of what they are doing. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know that they're afflicting you. That forgiveness rang out into the ears of the apostolic church. And oh, by the way, the enemies heard as well. And as they piled their cloaks up at the feet of one named Saul, so that they could get a better toss of their stone at Stephen, I dare say St. Paul heard those words as well. Did those words perhaps crack open his heart in some way and begin to bring the forgiveness of Christ to the enemy? You see, brothers and sisters, I wonder if God doesn't sometimes bring our enemies into our midst so that they can receive God's mercy through us. Not only for our own healing, because we need to learn how to forgive, to love, to do good, but so that they can be blessed by God. And it is essential that when they see one who bears the name of Jesus Christ, that what is returned are not the stones of anger, violence, hatred, the unthinkable murders, but rather the mercy, kindness, forgiveness, compassion of Christ. That's why it's important that we love our neighbor, so that we are healed and so that they are healed. And so we have work to do, brothers and sisters. We've got an army here of God's people, and many people who are in position to bring this forgiveness to others in little ways. And you may not see the miracle. You see, St. Stephen didn't see the miracle of his forgiveness until he arrived in heaven and saw the conversion of Saul, who became Paul, who became the greatest of the apostles, and into whose soul the awareness of what he had done in killing another, especially in his crucifixion of Christ in doing so, had radically transformed his life. Brothers and sisters, we're called to love our enemies and to do good to those who harm us. May we look for opportunities to do this and extend this grace to others in the name of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.